Okay, we are back. You're listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We have Mike Barker on the line with us this morning. He's a regular on this program. He's with Investment and Retirement Management. Mike's a chartered retirement planning counselor. He's a certified fund specialist offering securities to Linsco Private Ledger, member of NASD and SIPC. Good morning, Mike.
Dave, good morning.
You know, Mike, we're into the fourth quarter now, as of course everybody well knows. And I've got a lot of questions I want to ask you today about where we're going, but I thought it might be interesting on the front end of this program, and since we are now into the fourth quarter, to have you recap this quarter for us. I mean, the third quarter was a crazy one.
No, no question about it. It was one for the books, as they say. And it all goes back, I think, to when we were talking months ago about how much time we were spending monitoring the bond markets and the credit markets. And we were just convinced that that would be where the trouble would first manifest itself. Of course, you never know when that day will be. It's just hard to get a read sometimes on exactly when something's going to hit the fan, so to speak. But it certainly did during the third quarter, and with all the things that started in the credit markets with subprime mortgages and all those other things related to that, and it just caused all sorts of volatility. And just some tidbits here, Dave, and these are not in any sort of order necessarily. This is not to say it's important down to the least important or anything of that nature, just some things I thought were interesting. In a matter of literally about 2 or 3 weeks, the Federal Reserve went from a supposed stance of worrying about inflation more than anything else to all of a sudden being aggressive with monetary policy on the downside, so to speak. If folks remember, they lowered that discount rate on that Friday morning. It wasn't too long after that they lowered it again, and then they lowered the Fed funds rate on top of that when they made that second cut in the discount rate. And on top of that, the Fed funds drop was a full half percentage point as opposed to a quarter. So in just a matter of several days, you just had a 180 with the Fed, and all of a sudden they're aggressively easing monetary policy. And then just looking at some things market-related, the dollar has literally just collapsed to all-time lows against a basket of trade-weighted currencies, as we call it. And, of course, that includes the euro, the yen, and the Canadian dollar. And the asset-backed commercial paper market, I know that's not everyday lingo to most folks, but that market just completely stopped functioning normally for several days. It's improved some, but I would not say it's totally back to normal yet by any stretch. And you had all sorts of these hedge funds that had 25, 30, 40% losses in a hurry. You had some that actually just imploded and went to zero. Folks remember all the media coverage on that. And we actually had, last number I saw, and this will vary a little bit depending on who you talk to, but last number I saw, there were about 160 mortgage companies that went out of business, went under, were bought by someone, whatever you want to call it. So that's just phenomenal. And of course, all of this centered around the problems in the subprime mortgage market and other parts of the mortgage market. And you had the housing market really get in the headlines, as we had expected for a while, and in a lot of respects just stopped there for a while and has not improved much at all from everything we can see. And then finally, and I could actually talk a while about this, but will not just for the sake of time, but what was going on in the commodities markets and crude oil and gold was just amazing. With the record highs in gold, record highs in crude oil and gold at levels that were significantly up for the year, and what was going on with other commodities as well. And then finally, you look at the foreign markets, China to be specific. Some of the big up moves in some of these foreign markets since the lows during the quarter were just phenomenal. So, and there's more we could get into, but that's just a little bit of all the wild and woolly things that went on during the quarter. And what is really, really interesting with all of this, you look at the S&P 500 for the quarter, it was up 1.5%. And I bet you if you ask 100 people what the S&P did last quarter, you'd probably get a lot of people talking about how much it finished down for the quarter. With all of that going on, it was able to finish the quarter slightly up. Just pretty amazing.
Mike, we need to pause here briefly, get some messages in. We're talking this morning with Mike Barker from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. We're talking about the market this morning with Mike Barker from Investment and Retirement Management. Mike, you were reviewing the third quarter for us, and you were saying that you thought the S&P 500 was pretty amazing the way it finished the quarter. I would say the whole quarter was pretty amazing. I got a lot of questions about that. First, let me ask you about the volatility. Volatility was a word that was in every one of our conversations there for quite a while. Are we out of the woods in terms of volatility, or is it just less volatile now than it was a month ago?
Well, it feels, obviously, it's a little less volatile than it was. I think it would almost have to be less volatile to some degree with so many of those days we saw where just talking about the Dow, where it would be up 150 at one point during the day, and it would finish down 80 or down 100 or what have you. And then we had a lot of days where obviously it was down big or up big, but it was pretty amazing. And of course, you know, as we talked about a few months ago, any time you have a market like the market was about this time last year, when it just went straight up pretty much every day with very minor pullbacks to speak of, and even when we got the drop in the market this February that started overseas, and our Dow was down a lot that day, even with that drop, it did not last long at all, and it started straight back up again and was actually going up at a steeper pace than it was going into that drop. So anytime you get that type market activity, you have to know that at some point you're going to get some pretty volatile type action on a downside, and it's really just a matter of you have the conditions in place for that. It's just a matter of something triggering it to get it started. And without question, this summer, it started in the credit markets as we had anticipated. And then on we go from there. And it was, without question, a very volatile period. And I'm not convinced that's over yet. We start into earnings next week in a big way. And, of course, I know you're going to talk about the jobs report coming up here after the show, but the market, with the Fed already having cut rates like we just discussed, the market is in a condition, we think, at the moment where it's wondering and kind of keeping an eye out for something coming around the corner. That's another big negative surprise, because the Fed obviously did not cut rates because everything's all peachy and wonderful. You know, there was a crisis situation in the credit markets, and it prompted them to do what they did. So it's difficult to believe, in our view, that all of a sudden everything's all wonderful again just because the Fed cut a half point. So that's what the market, I think, is looking at. We're looking at that, and you just want to stay in attention here to anything that can come around the corner, so to speak.
Uh-huh. Would it be fair to say that you're surprised, given all the housing, the credit situation that we've seen, some of the other negative economic news, that you're surprised that the market in general has done as well as it has?
Oh, absolutely. I think, and it's just my opinion, but I think folks that are not surprised by this, I don't know if either we don't quite understand how the markets work or they don't. I'm not sure which it is. Obviously, I think we understand it, but I think it's surprising. It doesn't matter if you're bullish or bearish, positive or negative, or whatever your stance has been on this market. I think you have to be surprised with the resilience, with how resilient this market has been, and with things thrown at it, and it shakes them off and starts back up again. It's pretty surprising, I think. And again, and I know we keep talking about this, but you know, when things are this important and such a factor, you have to keep talking about them. I mean, what I'm talking about is all this growth we're seeing overseas in these other economies, and so many companies in this country now that are obviously on our stock markets, so much of their business now is overseas that you can have problems here and it doesn't affect them to the degree it did years ago. Now, it's a long conversation as to whether that's going to keep the current problems from becoming a bigger problem, but for sure, the U.S. impact from the U.S. economy has lessened for a lot of companies. And one that's really amazing, I think, and there's many I could get into, but will not. But I saw the other day where GE, General Electric, their sales for the first time in their history are now over 50% overseas, and that's just amazing.
That's interesting. Guess what, Mike? We need to pause here. Mike Barker's with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker is with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. The jobs report. Let me first ask you just to kind of review where you're coming from on that. I can remember, last month when this came out, you were skeptical of the whole thing. You've not been a big fan of this report, and I guess the fact that the media seems to be just so excited about this, as does Wall Street, I guess, in general, and the last report, I think you said you didn't trust it, and you thought people were a little bit over the edge and putting so much emphasis on it anyway. Talk about your general feeling about this whole jobs report coming out right after this program is over.
Yeah, it was last month that we first started talking about that in a lot of specifics, and I have been of the opinion for a while now that people just get too bent out of shape over this jobs report. Either way. They get too excited when it's supposedly what they want. They also get way too negative when it's not what they wanted. And we were talking about it before the report came out last month. This is a monthly report, by the way. And it was classic. The report comes out. The expectations were around 100,000, 120,000 jobs created. And the report comes out, I think it was negative 4,000, if I remember correctly. It was negative something.
Right, it was negative 4,000.
Yeah, and oh my goodness, that Friday the market was just all worried sick, and all the headlines all weekend about how horrible the jobs report was, and here comes a recession, and all this sort of stuff. And next thing you know, a few days later, the market's right back where it started before the report came out, and then was onward and upward. So it was just a classic example of what I'm talking about. And, of course, as we've said for a long time now, folks, not only are they getting excited about something that we don't put a lot of stake in anyway, they're getting excited about something that is going to be changed anyway with all these revisions that come out. And if memory serves me correctly, in that report were revisions announced for the previous two reports. And they were fairly sizable revisions, and so that's typical. And the other thing interesting, too, that people need to keep in mind with this, and we've talked about this over the years, there is a birth-death factor in this report, a birth-death adjustment, whatever you want to call it. And this has to do with businesses being created, businesses going out of business, and the government does some sort of estimation, guesstimate, whatever you want to call it, with that factor in these numbers. And according to the numbers I've been able to come up with, this particular birth-death adjustment accounted for 1.1 million jobs over the past year. And there were only 1.5 or 6 created over the last year. So if you do the math there, that's about 70% of the so-called jobs that were created come from this birth-death adjustment. And to my knowledge, and I keep this offer out there, if someone can find out exactly how that number is arrived at and how it's calculated specifically, I'd love to hear it, because I have not been able to find out even how they do this in the first place, other than just some general type stuff. So my point there is, That gives you an idea of how these numbers are created. And with all that said, you can make your own personal decision as to whether you want to put much stake in this thing in the first place. And then finally, given that we just mentioned this birth-death adjustment, I went back and looked. Last year, the September birth-death adjustment was an addition of 13,000 jobs for the month of September. And the report we're about to get this morning at 8:30 is for September. Now, that does not necessarily mean that the birth-death adjustment will add 13,000 jobs to this report, but that's what it was last year. So I found that to be somewhat interesting. And then finally, I don't have the specifics here in front of me, but I do know there was some sort of, at least in some people's minds, a little bit of an anomaly in the report that came out last month related to teachers, that there was a fairly sizable loss of teaching jobs. And the particular report I saw said that they expected that to be back in the report as far as teaching jobs to show up back in the report this time. So whether that adds 80 to 100,000 jobs this time, I don't know. But that's just some general ideas of why I just don't put a whole lot of stake in this report. And as I've always said, jobs are clearly important. It's just this particular report and how people get all excited about this thing or worried about this thing that we think is pretty much a waste of time. So that's just for what it's worth.
This morning, we're looking at the market. Mike Barker is with us from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker is with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. Mike, back to the jobs report. I saw the ADP employment report that came out earlier this week. I think that was on Wednesday, and if I'm not mistaken, that called for an increase of some 58,000 during the month of September.
Yeah, and there are some things they do differently than this particular government report, of course. So, the ADP report, it gets attention, but I don't think it gets, I know it doesn't get quite the attention that this government report does. But what will be interesting is to see as time goes by if this ADP report gets more attention and if its track record improves. I just don't know where it stands at this point. But be that as it may, I may be wrong on that, but I think the estimates are somewhere around 100,000 for today. And here's the other thing about this report. As far as an investor or a trader, either way, forget everything I just said, and let's assume that this report is perfect. Let's just say it's accurate as it can be, and it's just perfect. Given that, just like last report, it was so negative and so much lower than expected, and folks, got all worried about it for a day or two, and next thing you know, it's like it doesn't matter anymore. Again, even today, if we get expectations, I'm still not sure what the market's going to do with it, just to be honest with you. I don't know if let's just say we get 200,000 jobs created. I don't know if the market's going to look at that and say, oh, no, the Federal Reserve will not lower interest rates again. We're not going to get these rate cuts. That's awful, and we're going to have all kind of problems. Or will the market look at it and say, boy, this is great, because we were worried about it last time, maybe showing that the economy is slowing down more than people think, and the consumer is going to be in trouble, and people are going to start losing their jobs, and on it goes. If it's a lot lower this time than expected, will people say, boy, this is wonderful? It'll mean the Federal Reserve will cut rates again, and maybe aggressively. And the market may like that. So there you go. There are just so many iterations with this report trying to make a decision as to what you might want to do with it that it pretty much means to me you need to just ignore this thing and move on to next week.
Well, it seems like no matter what happens this morning in that report coming from the government, that the market's going to worry about it no matter what.
Well, I don't know. It's hard to say. And even if it does worry about it, how long will it last?
Yes.
I was talking to an individual the other day, and we got on the subject of the economy and jobs and unemployment and all that stuff. And we started talking about the jobs report coming out. And one thing I think it's critical and very important for us to recognize, being in the investment business, and especially talking with clients, is things that you cannot get an edge on, you have to admit. You know, you have to say, hey, this is something that we can spend days and weeks and hours and hours and hours trying to predict this thing, but let's say we could do it. Let's go one step farther and say that we knew their number now, before it even comes out. Even if we did, what would you do with it?
Yeah.
It's just so difficult in this environment to get a sense of what the market wants to see. And as I always say, that's just us. So I've talked to a lot of my contacts in the business the last few days that have been doing this for decades in some cases, and they're in the same boat. They don't know what the market wants to see. So when you have that situation, number one, you don't really trust the numbers anyway. Number two, you question the whole concept of how the report's created. Number three, you don't know what the market's going to do with it anyway. When you have a situation like that, you have to ignore it. You just can't go into this thing thinking you can make some sort of decision.
Too many ifs.
Absolutely.
Mike, let's take a break here before I change the subject. Mike Barker is with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back with more conversation about the market. Stand by. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. We're talking about the market this morning. Mike Barker is with us from Investment and Retirement Management. Alan Greenspan, the former chairman of the Fed, said the other day that he thought we'd seen the worst in the subprime and the credit markets. What are your thoughts on that? Do you agree with him?
No, I disagree with that totally.
I couldn't imagine that you would agree with him.
Well, I mean, I like Alan Greenspan per se. In fact, I'm reading his book and just thoroughly enjoy it. But and he's a smart guy, but I just don't agree with that. This reminds me back about this time last year when he said he thought we had seen the worst in housing. And believe me, I remember that because it came out a day or two after I had said on the show and other places that we thought housing was going to get a lot worse in the 07. And believe me, I remembered the day or two later when he said he thought we had seen the worst. And he clearly missed that one. There's plenty of things we missed too, but he missed that one. And I think he's incorrect this time, thinking that everything is over and done with as far as subprime and what's going on in the credit markets.
Uh-huh.
And just one reason why is we still have a lot of these mortgages due to reset. And I just find it hard to believe that we've seen the worst when that's coming down the pike here. Now, I did not see the context in which he answered that question. It could be, I don't know, but it could be that he meant he thinks we've seen the worst as far as the stock market reaction to this problem. And that's definitely a different discussion. I don't know what he meant exactly, but as far as subprime itself, by no stretch do I think we've seen the worst there. And in housing, in no stretch do I think we've seen the worst there either.
I've got you. Let me ask you about the housing arena. And we all saw the pending home sales numbers came out this, what was it, Tuesday, Wednesday, I don't remember which day it was. They were off by 6.5%, well more than expectations.
Yeah.
And that came from the National Association of Realtors. And a word that seems to be used quite often in the releases that they release is the word stabilize and stabilization of the market. What is that, and when are we going to see it, do you imagine?
Well, there's nothing stable about the housing market currently.
Yeah.
And I don't see it getting to that point anytime soon. And that report is actually a small indicator as to what we think is still out there, and that is too many people just not recognizing how bad things are in housing, nor how bad they'll get. And the expectations, and that was Tuesday, by the way, the expectations for pending home sales was a decline of 2.1%. And it was 6.5 down.
Right.
That's a big difference. I mean, in that report, for what it measures, that's a big difference there. And I still think we have a recognition problem out there with how bad housing is. So, and that's a 6.5-year low, I believe, in that indicator. And also keep in mind too, and you'll get some differences of opinion in some of these things as well. But that is a forward-looking indicator. In our model, there are indicators that are just simply looking backwards, don't help you much about what may be coming. There are indicators that we call coincident indicators that are just kind of showing you as things are currently and don't necessarily tell you much about what may be coming, but we look at this one as a forward-looking indicator. So, what will it take to stabilize housing? It may take many things, but it could be a few of these things. And as examples, one, I think it's going to take people recognizing, for one, how bad housing is at the moment and how bad it probably will be for a while. It's going to take recognition of that to get things to maybe stabilize or improve to some degree. It's also going to take getting through all these mortgage resets. And until we get through these and get a sense of how that's going to be handled with homeowners and what effect it may or may not have on the economy, I don't think you can look for any signs of stability either. I'm not convinced the Federal Reserve is going to lower interest rates enough to help a lot of these folks that have these mortgage resets, but time will tell, of course. And then you'll need to see a change in the inventory situation of homes. There are just too many homes out there for sale, and too many folks, in my perception, that are just not recognizing how tough things are, won't lower their asking price, and it just continues to build this inventory. So there are just so many elements out there brewing on this thing. And it's going to take some signs in a lot of these different areas, and there are others I have not mentioned, that are going to have to change for us to even think that there's any sense of stability or even improvement out there. And we just don't see it. We just have not seen it and don't see it anytime soon.
I got you.
Hope we do, but we sure haven't seen it yet.
I see. You guessed it, Mike. It's time for one more break. This will be the last. Mike Barker is with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. We're looking at the market. We're going to be back and look a little bit more at the market right after these messages. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker's with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. Earnings. As we mentioned earlier, we're in the fourth quarter. We're going to see third quarter earnings coming out here in a big way. Mohawk, obviously, is on a lot of people's minds here, as well as some of the other players in this industry. Any thoughts on Mohawk?
I think Mohawk will be one of the more interesting earnings reports with them, at least in my view, that we've seen in a long time. And the reason for that is I was surprised at how well their earnings were the last time they reported, and it was due to Unilin. They were the percent of sales that Unilin accounted for was less than 20% of total sales, but it was the bulk of the operating income for the quarter. And we've talked so much about so many businesses now getting business from overseas markets. And, you know, Dave, it wasn't too many years ago that floor covering wasn't really a think outside the United States type analysis. It was pretty much just a U.S. type situation. And that's clearly changed in a lot of ways, and Mohawk's a good example. And I remember in that report the carpet and rug segment was down about 10% in sales, as I remember. And the laminate business with Unilin was up 15-16% or so, as I remember. And, of course, you had some currency translation benefit there also, and some business conditions over there that are clearly better than here. So it's just interesting. I think it'll be interesting to see if that continues. I would be surprised if the U.S. business has not gotten a little worse. I would be surprised if it's not worse. But when you throw in this Unilin dynamic and what may be going on over there, the dollar's weakened even more since the benefit they got last time. So it's tricky now, at least to me. I'm not an analyst in the sense of the analysts out there that analyze all this stuff as far as balance sheets and cash flow and making earnings predictions and upgrades and downgrades and all of that. But the gist of what I just went through is the type of things we look at, and I'll have to tell you, I don't have a good sense of what will be the situation with Mohawk this time. I'll be surprised if the U.S. business has not deteriorated a little more.
I gotcha.
But when you throw in the Unilin dynamic to this, with the falling dollar, it's tricky to get a sense of what they'll report.
I gotcha. As we mentioned, we're in the fourth quarter now. Historically, it seems to me the market's been reasonably good for the fourth quarter. Historically, do you think it's going to be a good one this quarter?
Well, that's the tricky question, obviously. But you are correct in that the Dow is rallied in the fourth quarter about 9 years in a row. It's 8 or 9 years in a row that it's had a good fourth quarter. I know it's 24 of the past 27, which is pretty phenomenal. But, that's history. It is what it is. If you want to take that and do something with it, folks can do so. But I'll never take that point blank and go with it because there are always things going on that could change that. But there are also plenty of counter things I could give folks about why you need to be careful during the fourth quarter. So, but yes, that is the history, and you're correct in that, thinking that the fourth quarter is traditionally pretty good. It has been, but as I always say, it seems there are, each fourth quarter, it seems there are things in the mix, so to speak, that were not in the previous fourth quarters. And this one is a classic example of that with what the Fed has just done, with how quickly they've reversed course with their mindset, going from worrying about inflation to all of a sudden aggressively easing with monetary policy. And I can tell you this one, we have not had a credit crisis like we had in the last few weeks going into a fourth quarter before. So what effect will that have? Time will tell, but that is the history of it. And there are all sorts of reasons for that, I think, and many of those will be in play this year, of course, but there are also things that are brewing out there that have never been quite the way they are now. So it isn't something we will use to make any sort of decisions, that's for sure.
I've got you. Well, Mike, keep your eyes open for us. Who knows what's going to happen in this coming week, and who knows, we may call you any given day.
Okay. It should be an interesting couple of weeks here for sure.
I'm looking forward. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Okay. Talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. We've been talking with Mike Barker from Investment and Retirement Management, and this is Floor Radio.